Ya salam. Can you see how powerful Jibreel is? That is what Allah says. Allamahu shadidul quwa. Meaning Rasulullah was taught by someone who was very, very strong. Who is that person? Jibreel alayhi salam. Okay? Jibreel alayhi salam is very, very strong. And so, on the tip of one finger, he lifted up the whole town. Can you imagine all of Kuala Lumpur being lifted up on the tip of one finger and turned upside down? And this is how powerful Jibreel alayhi salam is, ya ikhwati. Tayyib. This is muttafiqat. وَجَاءَ فِرْعَوْنُ. And Fir'aun came. How did Allah destroy Fir'aun? Drowned him, right? And those before him, again they were drowned. وَمَنْ قَبْلَهُ وَالْمُتَّفِقَاتِ. And the people of Lut, how were they punished? Well, they were turned upside down. And the second thing that happened to them was an earthquake that happened. So, an earthquake plus being turned upside down. And the earthquake, when the earthquake happened, then the earth basically tore apart and ate them up. So imagine being turned upside down, the earth spreading apart and then crushing them all in between. This is how they were all punished. This is the punishment of those people who behave in this manner. In the Quran. وَجَاءَ فِرْعَوْنُ وَمَنْ قَبْلَهُ وَالْمُتَّفِكَاتُ بِالْخَاطِعَةِ فَعَصَوْا رَسُولَ رَبِّهِمْ. They disbelieved the messengers of their Lord. فَأَخَذَهُمْ أَخْذَةَ الرَّابِعَةِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them with a complete taking. Rabia means with a complete taking. Akhdan means to grasp them and to grip them. So Allah gripped them with a complete and total grip. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them totally. Did not leave any signs behind. And totally destroyed the first of them and the last of them. Ya ikhwati. Inna lamma taghalma. And also, remember, O human beings. Lamma taghalma. When the water disobeyed the levels, meaning by the permission of Allah, it disobeyed the levels, right? So levels are always set for the water, but the water exceeded the levels. When did it exceed the levels? In the time of Nuh, correct? Until the Sahaba, the scholars of Islam mentioned that the water was 15 meters higher than the highest thing in our time. What is the highest thing that we have today? Mount Everest. How high is it? 1,482. Right? 1,482 meters. I learned it a long time ago. It's difficult to forget these things. Okay? But don't worry, K2, which is in Pakistan, will soon overreach it within 30 years. Because it's climbing at the rate of 18 centimeters and it's being withered down at the rate of 12. Whereas K2 is rising at the rate of about 40 or 48 and is withering down about 24. So K2 will overtake Mount Everest soon. Anyway, coming back. 15 meters higher than Mount Everest. Can you imagine how heavy the water was? 15 meters higher than the tallest mountain, which is Mount Everest. This is how much water there was. Ya salam. Ya salam. Amazing amount of water. Where did it come from? Well, from the moisture in the air and from the water under the ground. Yeah? And it all came up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drowned the whole of human beings and mankind and everything else in this dunya. Except for that small ship of Nuh alayhi salam. Inna lamma taghalma. And when the water disobeyed the levels, hamalnakum. We carried you, O people, fil jariya, on that ship. Linaja'alaha lakum. So that we may make it tadhkiratan, a reminder. وَتَعِيَهَا أُذُنُ وَاعِيَةً. And that so that it may be preserved and memorized by the udhun, by those ears that are attentive. Wa'iya meaning the attentive ears. Why? Ya ikhwati, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved us and didn't kill us. We are from the children of those people that were on that boat. Correct? Yes, we are from Adam alayhi salam, but also through him, through only those descendants from the boat. So that we may remember that our forefathers were on that boat. Everyone else was destroyed. So that we may remember, my brothers and sisters in Islam, what our fate was. Just like our fathers and mothers would have been drowned had they not obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the same way we too will face that ultimate end if we do not also obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّا لَمَّا تَغَلْ مَا أُحَمَلْنَاكُمْ فِي الْجَارِيَةِ. لِنَجْعَلَهَا لَكُمْ, so that we may make it for you, تَذْكِرَةً, a reminder, وَتَعِيَهَا أُذْنُ وَعِيَ, and so that those attentive ears can preserve it and remember what they've heard, and of course tell it to others. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now talks about what the Day of Judgment is, that he started off at the beginning of the surah, saying Al-Haqqa, Mal-Haqqa, wa ma-adraka mal-Haqqa, right? Now he's going to tell you about what the Haqqa really is. But first, before that, he told you about, don't you dare disbelieve in what I'm going to tell you. Don't you dare, human beings, disbelieve in what Allah is going to tell you. Because what Allah is going to tell you is going to sound amazing. What Allah is going to just about to tell you is going to sound unbelievable. What Allah is about to tell you is going to sound incomprehensible. But it is true. And those people who disbelieved in it, this is the fate that they had. So now listen to what they disbelieved in. And ask yourself, are you also going to follow their fate and disbelieve in them as well? Disbelieve in it just like them? So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us is what will happen on the Day of Judgment, or the fitna that will take place just before the Day of Judgment. What is it? فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ نَفْخَةٌ وَاحِدًا. That's it. That's how it starts. How will the Day of Judgment start? How will it start? فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ نَفْخَةٌ وَاحِدًا. And when the blowing, and when it is blown into the horn, sur means the horn. فَإِذَا نُفِخَ, نَفْخ means, that's the blow, okay? That's called نَفْخ, that's a blow, yeah? So, فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي السُّور, and when it is blown into the horn, نَفْخَةٌ وَاحِدًا, a single blowing. The scholars of Islam have told us many things about, from the authentic hadith, about the horn. What is the horn? In the authentic hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is Muslim Imam Ahmed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the horn is the hollowed out wing of a ram. Hollowed out horn of a ram. And this is a ram from Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, a huge ram. And one of the horns was taken and was hollowed out, and this was given to one specific angel. There's a specific angel that is responsible over it. In the authentic hadith, we know the name of this angel. His name is Israfil. Yeah? Israfil. What can you tell us about Israfil? What do we know from the authentic hadith about Israfil? Well, we know that Israfil alayhi salam is an angel that never blinks. Okay? We know that Israfil is an angel that never blinks. Why? Because he is afraid that if he were to blink, that at that moment the command would come and he would delay the blowing of the horn. So he does not dare blink. Can you imagine how attentive he is? Can you imagine how serious this issue is? Right. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَسَّعَتِ هَكَذَا, I have been sent in the last hour like this. So when the Rasulullah is no more, then the only last thing to wait is the last hour. In one authentic narration in Bukhari, it is reported that the Prophet ﷺ was asleep. He was sound asleep, and suddenly, you know how one of us sometimes sees a bad dream, and we suddenly wake up gasping for air? So in the same way, the Prophet was asleep, suddenly he woke up gasping for air. And then Aisha radiallahu anha also, she also suddenly felt like Rasulullah waking up. She also suddenly woke up and said, Ya Rasulullah, what's wrong? What's wrong? Rest, rest, Ya Rasulullah, rest. Be at ease, Ya Rasulullah. And so the Prophet said, Kayfa an'am? Kayfa an'am? Meaning, how can I rest? وَصَاحِبُ السُّور, and the owner of the horn, which is Israfil, has taken a deep breath. And he has puffed out his cheeks. And he has put the horn to his mouth. And he has raised his eyes, looking at Allah, waiting for the moment that Allah gives him, the moment to blow the horn. Meaning he saw this in his dream, that at that night, Israfil was given the command to get ready. So on that particular night, and because the dreams of the Anbiya are true, aren't they? And so on that particular night, whilst the Prophet was there, 1400 years ago, Israfil was given the command to take a deep breath, puff out his cheeks, put the horn to your mouth, and not blink at all, wait for the command to come at any moment. Ya Salaam. This is the Day of Judgment. فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ نَفْخَةٌ وَاحِدًا. How many blowings of the horn will there be? The scholars have differences. Some said two, others said three. The strongest opinion is three, inshallah. Three blowings of the horn. First blowing is Nafqatul Faza. What is that? The first blowing is called Nafqatul Faza, meaning that with the first blowing, everyone will be terrified. Oh my God, what the heck just happened? What was that sound? What was that? Did you hear that? I heard that. What was that? So Nafqatul Faza, meaning the first blowing will create tremendous fear in human beings and jinn and all of creation, the whole universe. It's called the Nafqatul Faza. Okay? The second one is called the next blowing is the blowing of destruction. Okay? With the second blowing, everything will be destructed. So the second one is more severe, more sound. And with it, the power of the sound will destroy the whole universe. With sound, Allah will destroy universe. It's amazing, isn't it? With sound, nothing else. No hand of God coming and destroying things. No, nothing like that. Just sound. Can you imagine the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So with sound, Allah will destroy the universe. And so the next blowing will be the blowing of the sound. Or the sound which will destroy the whole universe. At that blowing, even Israfil himself will disintegrate. With that blowing, even the horn will disintegrate. Everything will die. Jibril will die, Mikael will die, Israfil will die. Hurul Ain in Jannah will die. The servants in Jannah will die. Every single person will die. The 19 angels looking after Jannah will die. Everyone will die. Everything will be destroyed. Kullu man alayha fan. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Nothing will remain except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who is not harmed by this. Right? That's the second blowing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recreate Israfil, recreate the horn, and they will blow into it the third time. And with this, ikhwati, will be the third blowing. And with this, Allah will recreate the Day of Judgment, recreate human beings in their graves, and Allah will cause a rain to fall, and then human beings to come out of the earth, starting the Day of Judgment. This is the third blowing. Tayyib ikhwati. So Allah talks about the first blowing or the second blowing in this surah. Okay? فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ نَفْخَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. And when the horn is blown, just one single blowing.
فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ نَفْخَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ فَدُكَّتَ دَكَّةً وَاحِدَةً.
Meaning, the earth is lifted up, the mountains are lifted up, and they are smashed against each other. Okay?
وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ فَدُكَّتَ دَكَّةً وَاحِدَةً.
Can you feel the power of these verses? You don't get it from an English translation, ikhwati. You don't get it from English translation. Don't try and understand the Quran just through English translations. You need to understand the tafsir. Wallahi, it is so powerful. So Allah will lift up earth. The scholars of tafsir mention that this does not refer to any simple earth. It means Allah will lift up continents. Imagine Australia being lifted up. Imagine the whole of Mount Everest and the Alps being lifted up, and then they're smashed against each other. SubhanAllah, can you imagine how magnificent that day will be? The power of Allah on that day.
وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ فَدُكَّتَا دَكَّةً وَاحِدًا فَيَوْمَئِذٍ وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةِ.
On that day will the waqi'ah truly take place. What is the waqi'ah? Which is the waqi'ah is the one that will truly take place. The reality will take place. Waqi'ah means the reality. On that day, waqa'atil الْوَاقِعَةِ. On that day, the reality will take place. What is the reality? Reality of what we have been told by all the prophets of God. The reality of the Quran has been saying. Reality of what we knew in our hearts, that Allah will of a surety destroy all of this and bring us one day to Judgment Day, where we will be judged for all our deeds.
فَيَوْمَئِذٍ وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةِ.
On that day now, Allah talks about now the third blowing. And the third blowing, everything is recreated. What has happened now? On that day, on the third blowing, when we come out of the graves, and people come out of the graves, how will people come out of the graves? Rasulullah said, people will come out of the graves,
Hufatan, Uratan, Ghurla.
Right?
Hufatan, Uratan, Ghurla.
We will be raised up naked, Urat, Hufat, meaning barefooted, Ghurla, uncircumcised. This is how we'll be raised up. All at the ages that we died at. All of us at the ages that we died at will be raised up on that day in this fashion. Right? No one will look at each other, because the severity of the test on that day will be far too serious than to even look at each other's private parts. And this is Hufatan Uratan Ghurla. And also when we look at the sky, this is what Allah says the sky will look like. What is the, how will the sky look like? وَانْشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءِ. And the sky will be torn up. Meaning you will see holes in the sky. Have you seen, Ya Ikhwati, when you have a cloud of a layer of cloud sometimes, and sometimes there are holes through the cloud, sometimes some sunlight comes through, right? In that way, the sky will look holed. Okay, وَانْشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءِ. The sky will look holed up. Why? Because the number of angels that are coming up and down, and they're like light. Because the number of angels that are coming up and down, they've torn up the sky. وَانْشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءُ فَهِيَ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَهِيَ. Until on that day, you will think that the sky is like a simple piece of paper. You know, fragile paper, not the 80 GSM, the very tiny GSM, light paper, that you, if you take a light piece of paper and you put all holes in it, right? Can you see how flimsy it feels, right? This is how the sky will feel. وَانْشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءُ فَهِذَا يَوْمَئِذٍ وَهِيَ. On that day, the sky will be completely fragile and frail. وَهِيَ means fragile and frail. وَالْمَلَكُ عَلَىٰ أَرْجَائِهَا. And suddenly, after 50,000 years of waiting there, of course, as we know, the human beings will wait for 50,000 years. Ya Ikhwati, I don't know about you, but 50,000 years, I haven't even stood for a day and I feel tired. How are we going to stand for 50,000 years? This is before the Day of Judgment even starts. Meaning we are standing on the plane waiting for Allah to come. Waiting for Allah to come. Yeah? 50,000 years waiting for Allah to come. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just before Allah comes, after 50,000 years, what will happen? People will go to all the different prophets. Finally, they will go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, yes, I'm the one. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise up Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will prostrate on Maqam Mahmood. And at that point, Allah will teach him how to praise Allah. And then only Allah will listen to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the first thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will ask for is, Ya Allah, start the Day of Judgment. At that point, that's what Allah says. Look at what Allah says. وَالْمَلَكُ عَلَىٰ أَرْجَائِهَا. Suddenly you will see angels descending from the sides of the sky. Meaning, the angels descending. What's happening? Allah is coming. Allah is coming. And وَالْمَلَكُ عَلَىٰ أَرْجَائِهَا. And the angels are upon every single side of the sky. So the sky is full of angels now, floating in the sky. وَالْمَلَكُ عَلَىٰ أَرْجَائِهَا. وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيًا. On that day, you will see holding up the throne of your Lord will be eight angels. Right? Allah says, وَيَحْمِلُ, and holding on top of them, فَوْقَهُمْ, above them, عَرْشَ رَبِّهِمْ, the throne of their Lord, how many angels? ثَمَانِيَ, eight angels. So eight angels will be holding on the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. And this is the coming of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now come. He is established on the throne. You cannot see him yet. He is covered by light. He has a hijab that protects you from seeing Allah azza wa jal. He will only allow you to see him later on, if you deserve it. Because seeing Allah is a blessing and a reward. And before that, Allah will remove a little bit of the hijab so you'll be able to see his shin. And then you'll be asked to prostrate. You know about that. We took that yesterday in the tafsir of Surah Qalam. So, Ya Ikhwati, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now brings us to the judgment. See how beautifully Allah is condensing the whole of A to Z of the Day of Judgment so quickly and so beautifully. Allah is bringing it to now the judgment day. Now the judgment is about to start. So here is Allah in front of you, angels all in front of you. In your right, you can smell Jannah. To your left, you can see Jahannam. Jahannam has 70,000 rings. On each ring is a rope with 70,000 angels that will be pulling it. And Jahannam can be heard, and its wails and its screams can be heard from far away. Whereas Jannah can't be heard, but Jannah can be smelt. You can smell Jannah 500 years away because it's so beautiful. Yes, salam. How amazing is that? You're hearing Jahannam, smelling Jannah, Allah in front of you. And then one by one, where is Abdullah bin Muhammad? Where is Yusuf bin Tawfiq? Where is so-and-so? One by one, with our father's name, we are called out. Who is the first people to be judged? The Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? So that if we truly were sincere and we were righteous and we prayed and fasted and did all our obligations, we will go to Jannah first. Or that because if we did not do so, then Allah will make us the first example for the rest of humanity. And from the Ummah Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who will be the first people to be judged? The ulama, the scholars, the preachers, the reciters of Quran, those who gave a lot of charity, they will be the first people to be judged. So, Ikhwati, the more knowledge you have, the earlier you'll be judged on the Day of Judgment. So be wary of that, be wary of that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةً يَوْمَئِذٍ تُعْرَضُونَ لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةً لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةً. On that day, تُعْرَضُونَ, you will all be presented in front of Allah. لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةً. Not a single khafiyah, not a single secret will be hidden on that day. Meaning every single person will come in front of Allah when the names are called, and all the secrets will be laid bare, and not a single of their secret will be hidden on that day. All the deeds will be on their right, good deeds, all the bad deeds on their left, their bad deeds on the left side of the scale, not one single secret of theirs will be laid bare. Seven witnesses will then start to witness. Who are the seven witnesses? The first witness is who? The first witness, who was the first witness, guys? The first witness of the people around you. أَنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءُ اللَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ, Rasulullah said, so you will witness for me or against me. If you saw good from me, you will say, oh Allah, this brother taught us Islam. He taught us the Quran. We went through this, Ya Rabbi. So you will witness for me or against me, okay? So human beings will witness for you or against you. Number two, after this, will be the earth. The earth will speak. وَإِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. On that day, the earth will speak about its tales. So the second witness is the earth. The third are the angels, the malaika, those who wrote down your deeds that are here with us. They are looking at everything. They will witness either for you or against you on that day. Number four, your fourth witness is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will either witness for you or against you. If you obey his sunnah, if you listen to his sunnah and followed his path, he will witness for you. Otherwise, he will say, Rabbi inna qawmi ittakhadhu hadha al-Qur'an mahjura. Oh Allah, my people have forgotten this Qur'an. They left the Qur'an. And that's why we're trying not to forget the Qur'an today in this month. Okay, fourth witness is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fifth witness, ya ikhwati, who is that? Is our book of deeds, the suhuf that the angels used to write down. They are being collated and put together, and they will all be presented to us on that day. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about very soon in the Quran. The book of deeds that will be presented to us. So all our deeds that we've been accumulating are being written down. Everything will be written down and presented to us on the Day of Judgment. So ya ikhwati, that's why. Do not say, it is reported that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah on his deathbed, he was making a sound which resembled that he was moaning. Oh, 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 you know, like we do when you're in pain. And then his son came back, came down, his son Saleh bin Ahmed bin Hanbal, came in and said, oh my father, I know you're in desperate pain, but my father, even this has been written down, even this don't make. And so Imam Ahmed therefore made no more sound until he passed away. Ya Akhwati, everything has been written down. Everything has been written down. Every frown of the face, every action of the body, every statement of the tongue, every single thing written down. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, wallahi, I guarantee you the middle part of Jannah and the highest part of Jannah, if you never speak a lie, even when you're joking. If you never speak a lie, even when you're joking. Why? Because even when you're joking, it's been written down. Subhanallah. So yeah, you can say, oh, it was just a joke. Oh Allah, it was a joke. I was just passing a joke. No, nothing's a joke, ya akhi. Nothing's a joke. Everything is serious. Everything is serious. So, ikhwati, what number witness was that? Six? Five, perhaps. Six is your body. Your skin, your bones, your eyesight, your hearing will all witness for you or against you. وَتَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْجُلُهُمْ وَتَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ What is it? سَمْعُهُمْ وَأَبْصَارُهُمْ وَجُلُودُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that his sam' and his absar and all his skin and juluduhum will all witness against him. So Allah says in the Quran, وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. A person will look at his skin and say to his own skin, why have you witnessed against me? And what will the skin say? أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah has given us ability to speak today. We could not speak and tell you not to do this when you were sinning with us. But today, we know we'll be punished with you, but we will still witness against you. Because we were never with you when you sinned. We were never with you when you sinned. So our body parts will witness against us on that day, Ya Khwati. Right? And finally, the final witness is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And any of the good deeds that Allah has allowed or will allow to witness on that day for us. The prayer will witness for or against us. The fasting will witness for or against us. The Quran will come as a witness for us or against us. And in fact, in the last part of this surah, Allah tells us that this Quran, whoever it witnesses against, Allah will punish him in Jahannam forever. So if the Quran witnesses against you, you're destroyed. In one authentic narration, it is reported, Ya Akhwati, this is a very severe matter. On the day of judgment, you can't argue, by the way. No arguing. So there's no like rebuttal, you know? Like, what do you say now? This is the evidence that's been put. What do you say now? No rebuttal. The Prophet ﷺ said that if someone is debated and rebutted, if Allah rebuts something that someone says, he will be punished. If someone is rebutted on that day, he will be punished. An example of rebuttal is, what did you do with your life? And a person will say, oh Allah, I gained knowledge with my life and then I spread it in your cause. Then Allah will rebut him and say, you lie. You gained knowledge so that you could be called a scholar. And you spread the knowledge so that people could call you Sheikh. And they did. And so that was your reward. And then you'll be tied up and thrown into Jahannam. So that is a rebuttal. Can you see that? Never ever, Ya Ikhwati, the only answer, as our Sheikh used to say, Ya Ikhwati, the only answer you have for Allah Azawajal on the Day of Judgment. Only answer is, Ya Rab, guilty of everything. Guilty. Guilty of every charge, Ya Rab. Totally guilty, Ya Rab, of everything. Because you know me better than me. You know me better than me. Wallahi, Allah knows our hearts. Even when we say we're sincere, Allah knows whether we truly are sincere or not. So don't rebut. Don't be arrogant. We're guilty of everything, wallahi. We're guilty of everything, subhanAllah. So nothing can really enter us into Jannah except Allah's mercy and forgiveness. Nothing but Allah's mercy and forgiveness. يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُعْرَضُونَ لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةً فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for the one who will have hisaba yasira. And that is why the Prophet used to say, oh Allah, give me hisaba yasira. Hisaba yasira. And we should also make dua to Allah, hisaba yasira. What does that mean? Hisaba yasira means, Allah will mention his good deeds, Allah will mention his bad deeds and forgive all of it. And he will mention his good deeds and he will say he accepted it and he will give his book in his right hand. That's it, hisaba yasira. Okay? That's hisaba yasira. So we should all make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, give us hisaba yasira. Give us hisaba yasira. Oh Allah, yasir. Very easy hisab, Ya Rab. Not a difficult one. Because a difficult one will destroy us. Ya Ikhwati, who are the people who will have a difficult hisab? Anyone who dies rich will have a difficult hisab because they will not be able to enter for 500 years. Who will have a difficult hisab? Anyone who has harmed a lot of people in this dunya will have a difficult hisab. Anyone who has left this dunya without fulfilling his obligations that are due upon him. Anyone who lives this dunya in this manner will have a difficult hisab. Ya Ikhwati, it is reported that Al-Hasan al-Basri used to say, by the way, does everyone here have an bank account? Who is there has bank accounts? How many people have bank accounts? I'm sure you're all putting up your hands. People on the TV can't see, but I'm sure everyone on this call, I'm sure you're all putting up your hands because you can afford a laptop or a computer to be able to see this broadcast. So I would imagine you have a bank account. So guess what, Ya Ikhwati, you're already from the rich. Because only 7% of the people of this world have bank accounts. Only 7% of 7 billion people have bank accounts. That's it. Everyone else can't afford it. They don't have money. They just don't. So you're already from the rich. La ilaha illallah. Do you know what that means? Do not die. Do not leave your charity for your children on that day just to give to your children. Give your charity away before you die. Distribute your inheritance before you die to your children. Give it all away. Die a poor person. Die a beggar. Die with nothing. You own nothing but the shirt on your body. That's it, ya khwati. The other day I was reading about Sulaiman al-Rajhi, who was the owner of Rajhi Bank. $11.6 billion owner. What did he do? He said he distributed his wealth to his children, gave other wealth away to his to charity. That's it, I'm a poor man. Yes, Allah. Yes, Allah. That's exactly right. He is the wise man. Do you know what happens when you leave your inheritance later until you're about to die? Is that your children fight over your wealth and they can never ever agree who will take what. Until how many of you know that until now in your own families they haven't divided up the wealth of your grandparents? Isn't it true? Because they can't agree. Because people are so greedy. And that's the mushkila. Don't die like that. Don't leave your charity till you're about to die. Divide it up before then. Die as a beggar. And that is why Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah used to say, they used to say, Al-Hasan, why is it that you hate earning money? So he used to say, if it is haram, meaning if the money that I earn is haram, then fear Jahannam. And if it is halal, then fear the questioning. Fear the questioning, because Allah will question us about every single penny and dime. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Then you'll be asked about every blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. As for the one who has been given his book in his right hand. فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَ. He'll raise up his book and he will tell his people, oh people, read my book. هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَ. إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَ. I knew that I would one day meet my hisab. Mulaqin meaning meet. Hisabiya, my hisab. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. So he is in the عِيشَة, meaning the life of رَاضِيَة, the blessed life. عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ, which is in Jannah, isn't it? The blessed life which is only in Jannah. فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ, in the highest of Jannah. قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةٍ. In Jannah the trees and its shade are very, very close by. The tafsir of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that when someone enters into Jannah and he looks at the trees and he sees a beautiful peach, for example, or what do you feel like? Lychee, for example. Okay, there's no durian, so this is your last chance to eat durian here, guys. No durian in Jannah, right? Because it smells. So peach or mango for it. I always have this durian joke with all my Malay brothers and sisters. So imagine you have a mango. The tafsir Ibn Abbas mentions that the tree, mango tree, will actually bend and come close and bring the mango in front of your mouth so you can take a bite. You don't have to go and shake the tree and climb the tree and, oh, you know, fall down or say, oh, Jibreel, by the way, can you please knock one of the mangoes down there? No, nothing like that. The tree will actually, that's what it means by kutufu hadaniya, okay? Kutufu hadaniya meaning the tree will actually come and present the fruit in front of you and you can take a bite. In one authentic narration, Ibn Abbas is reported, when a person sees a bird that he feels like eating, the bird, as soon as he sees it, will automatically become barbecued and cooked in front of him. Yes, salam. Can you imagine that? Kutufuha daniya. Okay, if you feel like, what do you feel like, wine? You don't have to go to the river of wine which is there. No, suddenly as soon as you feel like wine, straight away a spring will sprout out and wine will come and you can pour it into your cup and drink. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Amazing, isn't it? Kutufuha daniya. So the trees of Jannah are daniya, are close by. And Allah will say, and the angels will say, Kulu washrabu hani'a. Eat and drink and be merry. Bima aslaftum fil ayyamil khaliya. For all the struggle that you went through in this dunya. Are we, wallahi, going through struggle in this dunya? Not at all. Have we ever spent a day without food, really, other than fasting? Not at all. Even students, wallahi, don't go hungry here. Wallahi, subhanAllah. Have we had one day difficulty in the path of Allah, being tortured, punished? What's happened to our brothers and sisters in Syria? Has one day even touched us? Wallahi, no. How can we expect that this will be said to us? كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ. eat and drink and be merry for what you went through in the past. We didn't go through any difficulty. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us is that we are not taking a path to Allah Azza wa Jal. We're not doing enough for Allah. We're not giving enough in the cause of Allah. We're not making our life purely for the sake of Allah. So how can we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test us and give us more? Why will our ajr be great? It will not be, because our iman is so low. So ikhwati, time to change. This is a wake-up call, time to change. If you want this to be your end, then it's time to also have a difficult life in this dunya, not by you doing it to yourself, but by you seeking a path of struggle for the cause of Allah. When that happens, definitely difficulty will come to you very quickly. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever seeks a path, whoever loves me truly, then poverty strikes him faster than the wind. Meaning a trial comes from Allah, which is financial poverty comes to him faster than the wind. That's just an example of how difficulty strikes a person faster than the wind. On that day, on the day of judgment, the Prophet ﷺ said that the people who were never ever killed in the path of Allah, or who were never tortured in the path of Allah, will see the reward Allah gives the people who were tortured in the path of Allah, and they will wish that they were tortured in the path of Allah. They will wish that their bones were also broken and their skin was also cut off in front of them. They would wish that would happen to them because of the reward that Allah had given to those people who were tortured in the path of Allah subhanAllah. طيب يا اخوتي في جنة عالية قطوفها دانية كلوا واشربوا هنيئا بما أسلفتم في الأيام الخالية وأما من أوتي كتابه بشماله. The last one, which is the one who has been given his book in his left hand. وأما من أوتي كتابه بشماله فيقول يا ليتني لم أوت كتابه. He will say, oh woe to me, how I wish I was never ever given this book. ولم أدري ما حسابي, and how I wish I never ever knew what my hisab was. Ya laytaha kanat al-qadiya. Oh, how I wish it was my end. What was it? My death. How I wish my death was the end of my life. Death is not the end of your life, ikhwati. It is just entering into a new life, another phase in your life. So the disbeliever or the bad Muslim will ask and will pray, oh, how I wish my death was the end of my life forever. Reality is we will all live forever. Do you know that, guys? We will all live forever, either in Jannah or in Jahannam. That's the terrible tragedy, wallahi. Terrible reality. Ya laytaha kanat al-qadiya. Oh, how I wish it was my end. Ma aghna anni maliya. My wealth has not benefited me. Halaka anni sultaniya. Halaka means destroyed. Anni, from me, sultaniya. My right and my status in this dunya. Meaning I was a king in this dunya, I was a rich man, I was a noble man, I was a dato. Everything is destroyed, nothing. You are nothing but a slave of God. You are no better than the other person that you consider to be a beggar. You drove on a Mercedes, that person didn't have a car to walk on, but today that person is higher and you are nothing. And that is why, halaka anni sultaniya. Ma aghna anni maliya. My wealth hasn't benefited me. My children didn't benefit me. My status didn't benefit me. Nothing at all will benefit you, ikhwati, on that day. Except your deeds. Except your deeds. So what will it be said? Whilst he's lamenting in this way, what will be said? Allah will say, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ. خُذُوهُ, grab him. فَغُلُّوهُ, tie him up. Allah will order. خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ. Grab him and tie him up. ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوا. Then take him towards a path towards Jahannam. ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ذَرْعُهَا سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا فَاسْلُكُوهُ. And then, فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ, سِلْسِلَة means a rope. فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ذَرْعُهَا, its length, سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا, 70 yards long, فَاسْلُكُوهُ, tie him up. Meaning tie him up, Allah will say, take him to a path towards Jahannam and tie him up on the way with a rope from Jahannam of molten lava that is 70 yards long. In one of the narrations from Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, in the tafsir of this verse, it is reported that Sufyan al-Thawri said, it was reported to us from our teachers who heard it from the Sahaba, that the rope will be so severely tied that they will even be brought up from the bottom and brought up from the top of our mouths. We will be tied up so severely. Okay, so severely will be the tied up They will be taken up from the bottom and the rope will be brought up from the top and will be tied up in that way. Ya Salaam.
ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ذَرْعُهَا سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا فَاسْلُكُوهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ
Why, Akhwati, why this punishment? Because he never used to believe in Allah the Great. Meaning, even though he believed that he was created by Allah, but he never ever believed Allah was so great. And so as a result, he transgressed and he continued to sin. Why do we sin today, Ikhwati? Because we don't think Allah is great enough. We sin today because Allah is not watching, or we don't care if He watches. We sin today because we don't realize how great Allah is. That is why, Ikhwati, that is the person that will have this fate. The one who does not believe in Allah the Great. Everyone believes in God, believe me. Even the atheists believe that there is no God, that there is a God. What's the proof? Well, the proof is, as Winston Churchill said, there are no atheists on the battlefield. You put an atheist on a battlefield and you watch. Will he pray to God or not? Absolutely, he will. He's a coward. He will pray. He will pray to God. And that is the truth. In fact, I came across a research that was done recently in one of the books of psychology by some of the professors in America, where they had atheists that went through a particular test to see whether they actually believed in God or not. Atheists, hardcore atheists. So one group of atheists were made to swear that, I swear may my mom be punished. I swear may my... So one group was made to swear about terrible punishments coming to their family, okay, without taking the name of God. Another one was made to swear that, may God punish my family, may God destroy my wife, may God destroy my kid right now, may God kill my father, right? In that way, by taking the name of God. And then they put all these electrodes on their body and heart measures and on their skin to measure their electrical conductance. And what they found is whenever they took the name of God, that their internal emotions were far more severe. They were in far more distress. So what they said is, therefore, even atheists, inherently, they also have some belief in God. That's true, wallahi. That's true. And that's why, Ikhwati, what Allah is talking about here is that not that you didn't believe that there is a God, but that you did not believe that God is great. إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ Nor did he encourage the feeding of the poor. So this is so critical, Ikhwati. We have to feed the poor. Why are we fasting today if you're not feeding the poor? Why are you fasting today? You should be feeding the poor today as well. Ya Ikhwati, go and find poor people. Wallahi, give charity. Because Allah says, that is why you will be tied up in this way. That you don't believe in Allah, the great, or greatness of Allah, and that you didn't feed the poor. I remember when I was reading this after Fajr once when I was in my hospital, and I said, you know what? I do a lot of Dawah activities in Mercy Mission, but I haven't started a project to feed the poor yet. And that was the day when I spoke to my team and I said, guys, we have to do it. That's when we started a project called Charity Right, to feed the people. Do you know how many people hungry today will go to bed hungry today? Meaning, will only have half a meal or less than one meal today. 1.2 billion people. Of them, 780 million are Muslims. Will go to bed hungry today. Hungry today. That's why Allah says this. إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ Feed people food, يا أخوتي. Simple things, man. I know you're trying to be aeronautical engineer and whatever else you guys are studying, mashallah. Great. Go ahead. But it's simple things like this that will make the difference between a Jannah and Jahannam on the day. Simple things like this. إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ فَلَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هَا هُنَا حَمِيمٌ Towards the end, Allah says what? فَلَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هَا هُنَا حَمِيمٌ So therefore today, there is no friend for him, no hameem, meaning close friend for him today on this day of judgment. وَلَا طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ غِسْلِينَ And nothing to eat except غِسْلِينَ What is غِسْلِينَ? It is the pus. غِسْلِينَ is pus. So what will a person in Jahannam eat? Basically, as his body is melting from the heat, he will lick it and he will eat the pus. As it is passing down, he will suck it and he will eat it. This is the ghisleen. And as the people on top of him are being burnt, and their pus is coming down, he will open his mouth and he will eat their pus. وَلَا طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ غِسْلِينَ. This is called ghislin, أَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ. Allah says there, finally he says what? لَا يَأْكُلُهُ. No one will eat this. إِلَّا الْخَاطِئُونَ. Except the ones who are wrong. Except the wrongdoers. Who are the wrongdoers? The sinners, the transgressors, those who didn't pray, they didn't fast, those who sin, not caring about Allah the Great. They are the khati'un. They are the ones who will drink this. Save yourselves, ya akhwati, from this. Save yourselves from what Allah is saying. Remember, ya akhwati, all of this, what we have taken, Allah started off by talking about Ad, Thamud, and all those people who were destroyed because they didn't believe in this. So all of this Allah tells us now. Now are you going to believe in it? Absolutely. All of this will of a surety come true. Now it is time to therefore show this with your actions. Show that you believe in this with your actions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا أُقُسِمُ بِمَا تُبُصِرُونَ. So I swear by everything that you can see, O human beings. وَمَا لَا تُبُصِرُونَ. And I swear by everything that you cannot see as well, which is Jannah, Jahannam, jinns, angels. I swear by all of them as well. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. This Quran that has been recited to you is nothing but the statement of our noble messenger, رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ. This is not the words of a poet. قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. How little it is that you believe. وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنٍ. Nor is it the words of a soothsayer, a magician. قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. How little do you understand. It is nothing but تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. It is nothing but a revelation from the Lord of mankind. Allahu Akbar. This Quran, ya akhwati, is tanzeelun min rabbil alameen. This is what it is. This is what you're reading now, are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Great. And then Allah says, وَلَوْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيْنَا بَعْدَ الْأَقَاوِيلِ. And if you were to even think that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Jibreel alayhi wa sallam had the even audacity to even add one word or subtract one word. وَلَوْ تَقَوَّلَ. تَقَوَّل means to add on something. Okay? To say something that the other person did not say. So if I said Yusuf said something but this Yusuf did not say it, then Tawfiq is taqawwala ala Yusuf. Does that make sense? I'm trying to say something that Yusuf said which Yusuf actually never actually said. Or attributing something to Yusuf that he never actually said. So Allah says, if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Jibreel taqawwala alayya, meaning if they dared to even say something attributed to me that I did not say, walaw taqawwala alayya ba'da al-aqawil, a few words only, a few sentences, few phrases, what will Allah do? لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينَ. I will grab them both by their necks with my right hand. I will grab Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Jibreel with my right hand. Look at Allah's warning. Yes, salam. Allah will grab them with his right hand. لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينَ ثُمَّ لَقَطَعْنَا مِنْهُ الْوَتِينَ. And then in front of you all, I will cut off their Watin. What is watin? Watin is the carotid artery. So imagine in front of them, Allah will cut off their carotid artery and they will bleed to death in front of you. Meaning, don't you ever think that they have added one word or subtracted one. Meaning, every word that you're getting is purely from Allah Azza wa Jalla. How powerful is that, ya ikhwati? Wallahi, when you read this, it's like, ya salam, ya Rabbi. I am so sorry, ya Allah. I rejected the Quran for so long. That I had the Quran in my house and I looked for other ways or inspiration or guidance. I looked for hidayah in other places. I should have looked in the Quran where my words of my Lord were sitting there waiting for me to read. ثُمَّ لَقَطَعْنَا مِنْهُ الْوَتِينَ فَمَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ عَنْهُ حَاجِزِينَ. And on that day, if that were to happen, no one amongst you could ever hajizin, would ever protect me from him, protect them from me. Okay? Protect Rasulullah ﷺ, Jibreel from me. No one could ever protect them from me. وَإِنَّهُ لَتَذْكِرَةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. So, ya ikhwati, so my brothers and sisters in Islam, all human beings, إِنَّهُ, this Quran, is nothing but تَذْكِرَةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, is only a reminder for the people of piety, people who fear Allah Azza wa Jal. وَإِنَّا لَنَعْلَمُ أَنَّ مِنْكُم مُكَذِّبِينَ. And I know that amongst you are few those who are liars. Those who say that you are muttaqeen, but inside you are actually liars. You still don't believe in what I'm saying. So Allah says that. Don't you think that you're all righteous.
be worried that you might be a hypocrite. وَإِنَّا لَنَعْلَمُ أَنَّ مِنْكُمْ مُكَذِّبِينَ And I know that amongst you are some of you who are mukaddibin. Though you say you are sadiqeen, you're actually mukaddibin. وَإِنَّهُ لَحَسْرَةٌ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ And this Qur'an, وَإِنَّهُ meaning what? هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ This dhikr. لَحَسْرَةٌ will be a hasra. What is a hasra? A regret. عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ Aywa. So this Qur'an will witness against us for us, ya akhwati. If you read the Qur'an, you tried to understand it, this Qur'an will say, Ya Rabbi, I kept him up awake, Ya Rabb. Prevent him from Jahannam. Prevent him from Jahannam. وَإِنَّهُ لَحَسْرَةٌ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ And it will witness against those people who rejected it. وَإِنَّهُ لَحَقُّ الْيَقِينَ And this is nothing but the manifest truth. In that sentence, Allah says it, that this is definitely the truth in two different ways. إِنَّهُ Definitely, most definitely, la, this is lam, lam al-ta'keed, haqqul yaqeen. This is the absolute truth as if you're seeing it. Three ways. Allah has said that this Quran is most definitely from Allah Azza wa Jal. Wa innahu la haqqul yaqeen. Three ways, huh? Subhanallah, can you see how definitely Allah is saying this is definitely from Allah? Fasabbih bismi rabbika al-azim. So glorify the name of your Lord the Most High. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. How powerful is this, ya akhwati? Amazing, isn't it? Amazing, amazing surah. Let me read in Arabic, inshallah. 5 minutes, inshallah. And then bi-idhnillah, try and follow the words and feel the power of the Quran as it touches you, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Al-Haqqah. ما الحاقة وما أدراك ما الحاقة كذب ثمود وعاد بالقارعة فأما ثمود فأهلكوا بالطاغية وأما عاد فأهلكوا بريح صرصر عاتية سخرها عليهم سبع ليال وثمانية أيام حسوما فترى القوم فيها صرعى كأنهم أعجاز نخل خاوية فهل ترى لهم من باقية وجاء فرعون ومن قبله والمتفكات بالخاطئة فعصوا رسول ربهم فأخذهم أخذة رابية إنا لما طغى الماء حملناكم في الجارية لنجعلها لكم تذكرة وتعيها أذن واعية فإذا نفخ في الصور نفخة واحدة وحملت الأرض والجبال فدكتا دكة واحدة فيومئذ وقعت الواقعة وانشقت السماء فهي يومئذ واهية والملك على أرجائها ويحمل عرش ربك فوقهم يومئذ ثمانية يومئذ تعرضون لا تخفى منكم خافية فأما من أوتي كتابه بيمينه فيقول هاؤم اقرءوا كتابيه إني ظننت أني ملاق حسابيه فهو في عيشة راضية في جنة عالية قطوفها دانية كلوا واشربوا هنيئا بما أسلفتم في الأيام الخالية وأما من أوتي كتابه بشماله فيقول يا ليتني لم أوت كتابيه ولم أدر ما حسابيه يا ليتها كانت القاضية ما أغنى عني مالية هلك عني سلطانية خذوه فغلوه ثم الجحيم صلوه ثم في سلسلة ذرعها سبعون ذراعا فاسلكوه إنه كان لا يؤمن بالله العظيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فليس له اليوم هاهنا حميم ولا طعام إلا من غسلين لا يأكله إلا الخاطئون فلا أقسم بما تبصرون وما لا تبصرون إنه لقول رسول كريم وما هو بقول شاعر قليلا ما تؤمنون ولا بقول كاهن قليلا ما تذكرون تنزيل من رب العالمين ولو تقول علينا بعض الأقاويل لأخذنا منه باليمين ثم لقطعنا منه الوتين فما منكم من أحد عنه حاجزين وإنه لتذكرة للمتقين وإنا لنعلم أن منكم مكذبين وإنه لحسرة على الكافرين وإنه لحق اليقين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم.
جزاكم الله خير. Alhamdulillah, with Allah's mercy and blessings, we've been able to finish three surahs from Surah Haqqa. Alhamdulillah, only eight surahs to go. Next week, inshallah ta'ala, Friday, Saturday, Sunday again, inshallah, we will restart. We will restart with Surah Ma'arij, and then inshallah ta'ala carry on with the surahs after that. Very, very beautiful surahs all coming up. The story of the perfect da'i, Nuh alayhi salam, coming up. Surah Ma'arij, all about the injunctions Allah wants us to do so that we succeed on the Day of Judgment coming up in Surah Ma'arij. Surah Insan coming up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about Jannah, detailed description of Jannah coming up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about Surah Jinn. So everything you wanted to know about Jinn all coming up inshallah. And very interesting stuff about black magic and Jinn and all the unseen world. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Don't miss it. Please tell everyone. If they can make it, they should make it. If they can't, then log in, inshallah ta'ala, online, bi-idhnillah. Miss out, then you really miss out. Jazakallah khair. Okay, I'll see you all on Friday, 5:15 sharp, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ashku ila Allah al-Qurub, wa akmu'i harrasakum.